Welcome to the Ask Drone You podcast, where it's all about answering your drone questions today so you can fly better, safer, and even get paid tomorrow. And now, your hosts. One is a man of few hairs, and the other likes to be called Rob Burdick and Paul Lincoln.
Hello, everybody. This is Rob, and welcome to another episode of Ask Drone U. This is episode number 177, and as always, we're glad that you've chosen to spend a few moments with us this morning. We're going to continue today with Paul interviewing Carrie, and we've got an interesting episode today in which Paul and Carrie talk about a pretty cool success story about somebody who got started in inspecting cell towers with their drone as a business and has had some great success with that. They go into some technical aspects of that business and how that works. I think it's going to be very interesting to you and perhaps something that'll get your mind churning and get you thinking about how you might turn your drone or your passion for drones into a business that you love as well. So listen in as Paul interviews Carrie.
You're listening to the Ask Drone U podcast, supported by Multicopter Warehouse. Join the aerial revolution at multicopterwarehouse.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Ask Drone U. I'm your host today, Paul, and I'm here with Carrie Garrison, who's going to tell us a few success stories. Now, we're talking about the people who have a true passion for flight, and they want to turn that passion into profit, and they're a lot like you. So hopefully you get some encouraging stories and maybe even some ideas to take advantage in your hometown. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Paul. You know, we have the store here outside of Denver, and it never fails to amaze us when we hear some interesting story from a customer about what they've done, what they're doing, how they've developed a business around UAVs or drones. I don't care what you call them. I have a drone store. I'm okay with that word. You know, and I like sharing those because I think it inspires other people to get out there and be confident that they can actually make money in this right now. And one of them that comes to mind was a few months ago. A guy comes in here, and he knew exactly what he wanted. He wants an Inspire 1, and that was it. I'm like, all right, huh, great. You know, what are you going to do with it? I like to hear. Find out what people are doing. And he says, well, I'm going to inspect cell phone towers. And I said, you know, that sounds like a really bad idea. You know, let's just be honest. That sounds like probably one of the stupidest things I've heard. You actually want to fly close to cell phone towers. And he just gave me this look, and he was like, yeah. I'm like, no, that just seems like a really bad idea.
And why did that seem like a bad idea?
Well, there's all the antennas, you know, all the RF interference. This has got to screw with a copter. And I voiced my concerns to him, and he goes, well, just so you know, I used to design cell phone towers. So you're wrong. I'm like, oh, all righty then.
That must have been a shocker.
You're right. I have never designed a cell phone tower, so I guess I'm going to take your word on this one. He's like, no, trust me. It's going to be cool. You know, I know what I'm doing. They're not going to interfere. They're on totally different frequencies. I'm like, yeah, but that close, you know? You have huge metal towers and
just
stuff.
Just the sheer power.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, not a problem. I'm like, great. All right. Didn't think I'd ever hear from the guy again. Couple weeks later, well, actually about 6 weeks later, he's back in the store buying more batteries. And he's like, yeah, so let me tell you what happened. So he already had the context. He knew that industry, you know, of course. And he had been doing cell phone tower inspections before. And what that entails is climbing up the ladders, 150, 200 feet, taking photographs of all the different equipment on there because they lease out that space to other companies. So on a regular basis, they have to audit them to see what's actually there. Doesn't seem to be that good of a system, you know,
no,
but
no,
that's the way it works.
The most efficient thing in the world.
And so these other guys had come out and undercut him and pretty much put him out of business. They were just charging less to do the same job. So he figured he's going to take a copter and be able to undercut them. So they had got the price down in the $200 to $250 range.
Per tower.
Yeah.
Now, how long does it normally take to do a tower?
To climb one and do it that way is going to take you an hour and a half to 2 hours of time. So I said, well, how's it been going for you? And he's like, well, just as an example, my first month I did 95 towers.
What?
He's charging $150 a tower and he got 95 towers. So well over 10 grand his first month in business.
That's incredible. I mean, and you got to think about his investment, right? What were his, you know, costs to get into
business?
So his
initial investment was in the $4,000 range.
Okay.
And after buying a few more batteries, he was probably in the $4,500 range.
So what kind of companies is he trying to mimic? Like, how would someone be able to find, is it cell phone tower inspection USA?
Yeah, that's like definitely a niche market, and you have to know the people that are in it. But if you are in an existing industry where you can find a niche like that, whether it be that exact thing or radio towers or roof inspections or any of these other things where people are spending a large amount of time to do an inspection of something, maybe you can do it better, cheaper, and more efficiently and make more money at it.
I gotta say, thinking about this, 95 towers in a month, that means he's averaging 3 to 4 towers per day. So he wakes up in the morning, he works for 6 hours, he gets paid 10 grand a month to do this.
He's only flying 2 days a week. He's retired.
Sounds like if you guys are out there and you're retired and you've already done your corporate ladder tricks, it looks like you could go out and have some fun.
That's why he was getting more batteries, so that he could do more per day.
Wow.
And
how long would it take him to do one per day?
So he said on average it's taking him 7 to 10 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
7 to 10 minutes. So he's just flying up, flying around, a couple pictures, maybe a video or two, boom, done.
Yeah. No video, just stills. And he's trying to get a picture of the item and actually a model number or serial number if possible, if it's visible. And he sent me video or pictures showing how close he is to stuff, and it was fine. Now, preferably, you're not going to do that on your own. You're going to have a spotter with you for safety. Mm-hmm. That, I think, would be the best way of doing
it. Now, did he have a spotter?
No, he wasn't using one, but he was staying between 6 and 10 feet away.
Gotcha.
Which is okay. In a little more wind, I definitely want to have somebody with me,
yeah.
But that's just my own, you know, thing. If he hits a tower, it's not going to hurt the tower. His copter's coming down.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about, you know, he's using an I-1, which makes sense because an I-1 is much more stable in the wind. You have the Canon motors, you have more power, bigger ESCs, bigger blades. But what do you think you could get away with doing this job? Which platform, I guess?
Well, I believe a Phantom 3 standard or advanced would be fine because you're still getting the same 12 megapixel images out of it that you are with the Inspire. The downside, and you just mentioned it, it's wind resistance.
Mm-hmm.
With the Inspire, you're going to be able to fly more days than you can with a Phantom. And that's going to allow you to do more work. So at the end of the day, is it worth it to drop another $1,500, $2,000 so that you can fly substantially more days per year and do it safer? Probably, you know, especially if you're going to be able to turn 95 jobs a month.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, he paid for it in 2 weeks.
You know, it would, having the I-1 would even help me right now because my biggest problem is I fly ranches. In fact, I have one to hit on the way back from here. And one of the biggest problems that I have is the wind because mm-hmm. you're out in the middle of nowhere between canyons, you know, there's no big trees to kind of block the wind. And the thing is I'm pretty limited because of what I'm flying. So, mm-hmm. you know, for you guys out there, to be 100% honest, Kerry is 100% right when it comes to how many days can you fly and actually take care of work. And with the I-1, it's a lot more days.
Yeah. If you're getting paid to work, you need to be able to work.
That's
and you
true.
And you're not always going to be able to choose the schedule. So you need as much ability to be in the air as possible.
That's
and
true.
It takes more power, more weight, and you know, bigger props. It takes all that stuff so that you can fly more often. As good as the Phantom 3 is and as big of an improvement as it is over the Phantom 2, still not an Inspire.
Gotcha. But the Phantom 3 is still kind of what you would want to fly inside over the I-1.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree with that. Even with the vision position sensor on the Inspire, it's such a bigger bird.
And the prop wash.
The prop wash is insane.
Yeah. I remember trying to fly an Inspire 1 inside one time, and I was like, there's no way I'm doing this again.
No.
No way.
Not a chance.
No way. Well, I mean, it sounds like if you guys are interested in doing cell phone tower inspections, that you can totally do so. Now, make sure in that platform, it's super wind resistant. You have been flying a lot. I mean, you've got at least 200 hours before you start doing this because you don't want to just jump right into it and try and do
it. No, you're flying close to heavy equipment, and a mistake is going to cost you the copter.
Oh, for sure, and maybe your job.
Yeah, Yeah, you'll probably not get work after that. That's also going to go to having liability insurance.
Absolutely.
You do damage, you need to have insurance that's going to take care of that.
Which, as you guys know, listeners of Drone U, you know that we have a strategic partner, Global Aerospace. It's where you can get your insurance from. But also, if you're certified from Drone U, you'll see a significant discount in your insurance rates, just because there are certain milestones that our students have to hit in order to receive those certificates, mm-hmm. and also to get the discount on insurance, because it's a pretty significant discount.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to have insurance to be when you're going out and shooting commercially. You don't want to take that risk and lose your business or anything else, for that matter.
It's so true. So now, for you guys who are out there, you want to get involved in this, let's talk about practice, because, you know, we talked about, you know, putting a vacuum in your living room or going outside and orbiting around a tree. I mean, there are so many different things that people can do, and I think a figure eight is a great idea. But before you start those advanced practice trips, I mean, they really need to know orientation control well.
Orientation is huge. Yeah, absolutely. If you don't have orientation down, you make mistakes and things are over very, very quickly. Again, that's one of the beauties of the current designs, right? The Phantom 3, the Inspire, they're so stable. When you're off stick, the thing is a tripod. And so you don't have to think too much about it. You don't have to be worrying about it so much. You can ease into something a lot slower with these platforms than you had to with other stuff in the past that were just too twitchy. You want to turn the expos down as much as possible so it's a little less responsive when you're flying close to stuff. You don't want to be jerking, make the wrong move, and all of a sudden you're smacking something. You usually lose when you hit something.
That's true, yes.
Unless it's an insect, you're probably going to lose. Yeah. So you want to be very careful about your practice and move up in difficulty level from something very small. Even hitting a tree, though, you could lose your copter. So you want to be very careful about flying close to trees or poles or anything else as you're getting your skills up. And distance is one of the most difficult ones to learn, because the copter, when it's in the air, you lose your depth perception of how far it is away from something. And when you're looking at the screen, you can't really tell because it's not in stereo. You don't have 3D view to see exactly how close you are to something. So what it takes is actually doing both, having the copter close enough so you can see the distance while you can look at your monitor and see what that looks like. So you can begin to learn, how close am I when it looks like this on the screen?
I mean, it sounds like you're really learning to trust the FPV. You're learning to trust kind of the spatial awareness of the area where you're flying, mm-hmm. which is, you know, something that we go over with people. And that's why if you come to DroneU, you go through the obstacle course. In our first tunnel, you can see through each section of the tunnel, but it helps you understand when you go through, you can see the shadow on the copter and the shadow comes up over your FPV. So people learn the timing as
right.
well.
Right. And now keep in mind, this is drastically different depending on the camera that you're flying.
True.
If you're flying a GoPro, you're going to think, oh my God, I'm going to hit that. And you're so far away from it. On a Phantom 3 or an Inspire, you're going to think, I'm going to hit that. And you've hit it.
Wow.
Because it's not a super wide angle view. It's more natural looking. So you think, hey, I'm really close to that. You're probably really close to it.
Gotcha.
A GoPro, you think, I'm really close to that. And you're a mile away. You know, it's a very different perspective. So you have to learn your particular equipment.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, that seems like an amazing story. And guys, stay tuned, because we're going to have more carry success stories for you. And it's all thanks to our partnership with Multicopter Warehouse, which, if you didn't know, this podcast is supported by Multicopter Warehouse. And if you need your gear, where are you going to go?
Multicopterwarehouse.com, Paul.
Awesome. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for being on the show today. And guys, if you want to learn more about inspections, just give us a call or give Carrie a call and you'll find out all you need to know.
Thanks much, Paul.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Ask Drone U podcast. Submit your questions at www.askdroneu.com.